Start your day the Torah way, Northwest London, Tuesday, 12th of Adar Sheni, 15th of March, Rav Meir Zev Rappaport, a stable monarchy. This week's Torah has been sponsored in Nishmas, as Esther Brocha Bas Reb Aryeh, Ole Hasholom Reich Grosnas, whose Yahrzeit is today.
I'd like to speak drush, a topic which I think is very apt for those who attend, start the day or turn away on a daily basis, yom yom. I think with time you'll see why it's very apt for this very respectable zibur. Medrash in Esther Rabo. It's a well-known medrash, Medrash Teit Hazeh. Rabbi Akiva was once darshaning, he was learning with his Talmidim, and he noticed that the Talmidim start dozing. I can appreciate it, I understand his frustration, samachzach, and his Talmidim start dozing. So he wants to wake them up, so he says to them the following. He says, Mipnei ma zochza Esther lemalchus? Why was Esther zoiche to become queen, to rule over 127 provinces? Hello, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Rebbeinu Shlomim said that Tovoi Esther, who was a Bas Soro, she was a daughter of Soro, who lived for 127 years, and she should come and rule over 127 provinces. That's the statement he made in order to wake up his Talmidim. Outcome. Obviously, this very cryptic message needs explaining. First of all, what made this statement so special that it would wake them up more than what they were learning? What they were learning, Chvesos, Zroi Moid, Kochim, Nezikim. It wouldn't be awake if they were falling asleep, they were tired. Why put this statement? What's so unique about this statement that would wake them up? That's number one. Number two, Rabbi Akiva didn't seem to answer his question. He asked, why did Esther merit to rule over 127 provinces? He hasn't answered that. Why did she merit to rule over 127 provinces? He said, let the daughter of Soro, who lived for 127 years, rule over 127 provinces. That was a merit? Just because her bobber had a zoicha to Arichas Yomin? What's a pshat? What, why did she merit? That's number two. Number three, the choice of Esther's queen wasn't a Torah mandated monarchy. It wasn't like Melech b'Yisrael. The Torah says that when you're in Yisrael, you have a Melech, you have David a Melech. This was a Persian kingdom, and she was chosen as queen, as a Persian queen. So, why does Rabbi Akiva consider it a merit that she became queen? In fact, if you think about the story of Esther on a personal level, l'cha'ira, in English, it would be called a tragedy. She had a difficult life. It was a terrible life she had. So what makes it so meritorious that she became queen of the Persian countries? Sorry? It was a merit, but in what way was it Timothy Bas Zochsa Esther? So these are the three questions that we're asking on this medrash. It's a medrash in Esther Rabo. Let's see if we can try and explain it. Let's discuss a further medrash, another medrash in Esther Rabbah, much later on. This is in Medrash Rabbah Perik Aleph, this is in Perik Dalet. The medrash says like this. Rabbi Chanina ben Avo, the medrash quotes Rabbi Chanina ben Avo, and he says like this. Shteita posuk in Iyoiv. In Iyoiv, shteita zei. Kihu, who referring to the Rabbi Yishlagim. Kihu yachiv, HaKadosh Baruch Hu causes pain. HaKadosh Baruch Hu causes pain, but the yachvosh, he bandages. Yimchoitz, he can crush, the Rabbi Yishun can crush, but the Yodav Tirpeno, his hands heal. That's a pasuk in Yoiv. Meaning to say that on the one hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, smoil doiche, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can cause pain, he can crush. But Yamin Mekarev, on the other hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can heal. He brings a mako, but he also brings the refuah. And the Medrash continues with a dugma, an example of the kiyum of this pasuk in Iyov of HaKadosh Baruch Hu causing pain but then healing. Says the Medrash, if you note the terminology used to dethrone Shaul HaMelech from his kingdom, from his throne, it's exactly the same terminology is used when the kingdom is given back to Shaul HaMelech many years later via his descendant Esther HaMalko. The pasuk says, by Shaul Shmuel came along and he sees that Shaul HaMelech comes to Shaul and says, "Nu." Shaul HaMelech says, "Akimoisid var Hashem, yes, I've not just kept, but I've established the words of Hashem to destroy Amalek." "Nu, umakol latzoin." What's this doing exactly? I can hear the sheep. He says, "No, the people told me that the people said that we should keep the sheep in order that we can bring korbanos." And Agog, he kept Agog alive for an extra night. And we know that the repercussions, the consequence of that extra night, caused that Haman, his descendant, should exist. And Amalek has a continuity because of that one extra night. And Shmuel says to him that, "I'm sorry, that you've lost your malchus." And when Shaul takes hold of Shmuel's cloak and it tears, and he says to him, "Korah Hashem Amlachtecho, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has torn away the malchus from you, unesono lerei'echo hatoiv mimecho." Your kingdom is going to be given to rei'echo, to your colleague, to somebody of same standing as you, hatoiv mimecho, who's better than you. What happened with Esther HaMalko? Esther HaMalko, v'yoyim memucho lefnei HaMelech v'asori, that Vashti should be killed, umalchuso yitein HaMelech, lireuso hatoivo mimeno. Exact same terminology used. And so, says the Medrash, says the B'chani ben Avol, you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the one hand crushes, but on the other hand he heals, ultimately he heals. He causes pain, but he will bandage. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu dethroned Shaul HaMelech. Unesan l'reich hatoiv mimeko. But ultimately the Rabbeinu Shloilom gave back the Malchus to Shaul HaMelech, i.e. via Esther HaMalko. That kind of Medrash. That Medrash also needs explaining. What does it mean the throne was taken away from Shaul, it was given back to him? It's the same terminology used. What's Tutsakto? So to understand these two Medrashim, let's introduce a Halacha. What's stated in Rambam? The Rambam in Hilchas Malachim, in the beginning of Hilchas Malachim, the Rambam writes, the Rambam says, that a precondition of waging war against Amalek is that Klal Yisrael have a king. They must have a melech. Without a melech, they can't wage war against Amalek. So that's talking in a practical sense. If they want to wage a war, they've got to have a melech first. It makes sense. With leadership, then you can wage a war. We'll see there's much more to it though. That's a t'nai in Milchemes Amalek. You have to have a melech. Umimela. Sorry? Oh, sorry, Bdudi asks, Vosepes, why? So we'll have to, let's see if we can, sorry?
There was an exception, Moshe Rabbeinu never did the Melech, and they went over the
Mubi
there.
Could be Moshe Rabbeinu was the Melech.
Yeah.
Sorry?
Yeshua.
Yeshua, Be'emetz Amalek, they didn't fight Amalek, they fought the Canaanim. But, Amalek. Yeah. To fight Amalek, says the Rambam, you need to have Malchus. There has to be a Melech Be'Yisrael. And so, evidently, the only descendant of Shaul who was capable of rectifying Shaul HaMelech's sin. Now Shaul HaMelech was Tzadik Yisod Oilom. So her illustrious Zayda was a Tzadik, but he failed to complete the job. And he had a one-off opportunity, there was a one-off opportunity to destroy and obliterate Amalek that wasn't done. Esther was the one who could rectify it. And this grave sin is what she was destined to rectify, to continue the destruction of Amalek, to kill off Haman, and to thwart his evil plan. But, in order to fulfill that, there had to be Malchus. Umimela, she had to be crowned with royalty. She had to be clothed with royal garb, with the royal clothes in order for Malchus, because Malchus has the power to destroy Amalek. As Eivaistos. But, still, what was so unique about Esther that she was chosen for that Malchus, for the Malchus that's capable of fighting Amalek? What was unique about her? Presumably Shaul had many descendants. Why Esther HaMalko? So, let's look a little bit at Malchus. Now, if you'd ask me, what is the main ingredient of a successful monarch? What's the ingredient of a successful monarch? What's the ingredient?
Leadership.
Sorry?
Leadership.
Leadership, okay. Leadership, I hear you've got prime minister leadership.
Humility.
Sorry?
Humility.
Humility, I don't know, the queen.
Command.
You need to have, what's it called? You need to have the corps de sifores without the royal guard. I don't see humility so much in Buckingham Palace. Shmuel said to Shaolim, Kot nato beinecho, roish bnei yisrael ato, to have forkelt. Davot mepsa, shtikul gaiva, shminis to shminis, the king has to have. Anyone know what's up to?
Lishpoit
as a shoifet. That's Malchus, Melech. I don't know, look, I'll tell you one thing. I noticed, I think there was a few months back, there was headlines that Mamash, it shook the British Empire. Absolutely shook the British Empire. I hope we're not being recorded because I don't want Chas V'Shalom to end up in the Tower of London treason. What was the headlines a few months ago? This was news that shook the whole of Britain. Every respectable, loyal subject to Her Majesty was shocked. At the age of 95, the Queen stopped drinking her evening martini. That was newsworthy. Mele, war in Iraq, Mele, COVID. Oh, but the fact that the Queen stopped drinking her evening martini at the age of 95 upon a doctor's orders, that was newsworthy in the British press. Look, what did I learn from this? That irrelevant, the British Empire comes, the British Empire goes, there's wars here, there's wars there. The ganze Welt kann überkehren. But there's one stable thing that exists by us proud British. That's a monarchy. Unbelievable stability, you see consistency. Day after day after day, you see that unbelievable consistency. That is something that is stable and stays. And that lends stability to a kingdom. In Parsha Shoiftim, the king, the Melech Beisrael, is given an instruction. He must write two Sifrei Torah. One Sefer Torah he keeps in his palace. The other Sefer Torah, the Torah writes, V'hoiso imoi, v'koroboi, kol yemei chayov. He must keep the Sefer Torah on his person. Constantly, always, forever. Must never let go of this Sefer Torah. V'koroboi, kol yemei chayov. He must read from it every single day of his life without fail. Why? Leman yilmad le'yiro es Hashem. In order that you remember to fill Rabbeinu Shloimeh. We learn from this that a king must train himself to be consistent and al pi Torah consistent in his avodas Hashem, in his service of Rabbeinu Shloimeh. A spiritually stable monarchy can assure that there should be continued success in the kingdom, will be a spiritually stable kingdom also. Time passes, the kingdom may go through ups and downs, it can go through difficult times, better times, but the monarch must display a sense of stability through thick and thin. Through all the trials and tribulations that a kingdom goes through, the monarch is stable. The martini is always there till the age of 95. In fact, in Tosefta state, that a melech, say state in Tosefta, not only does a melech have to have the Sefer Torah with him and keep it on his person and read from it every single day, the melech wears a bracelet, a kemiyah, an amulet. Vosh state of them amulet, what is etched onto this kemiyah that the king must wear, say state in Tosefta? Four words. Shivisi Hashem lenegdi, somit. That's the chief ingredient of Malchus. Consistency, stability. That no fluctuations. Now let's go back to the first Medrash. First Medrash Yigishtanen, what do we say in the first Medrash? Sorry Imenu, lived for 127 years. Chazal tell us, Rashi quotes it in the beginning of Pashas Chayisoro, Vayu Chayisoro, Meyo Shono, Ve'esim Shono, Sheva Shonim. What's the Shono, Shono, Shono? Baskuf ke Baschof, Rashi says, Baschof ke Bazayim. And then the Posuk seems to repeat itself. There seems to be a superfluous repetition in the Posuk. Shnei Chayisoro. What are the last three words in the Posuk, Shnei Chayisoro, Rashi answers? What's the Rashi? Kulon shovin letoivo. Kulon shovin letoivo. There was an absolute consistency that Sori Imenu, her avodas Hashem, her saintliness remained the same right throughout. There was no fluctuations. There was no Yom Asa, Yom Basa. There was no good day, bad day today. I'm not feeling well today. I'm feeling well today. I can today. I can't. There was an absolute consistency in her saintliness. Kulon shovin letoivo. As I state by Sori Imenu. What do we know about Esther? So, we are first introduced to Esther Ramalko in Peleg Beis, Posuk Zayin of Megillas Esther. The first time we're introduced to Esther. Vayehi oimenes hadaso. How does it carry on? What's the next word?
He Esther.
He Esther bas doidoi, ki ein lo ovo eni. Mordechai reared, he raised Esther Ramalko. Who's Esther Ramalko Hadasso, the Posuk calls her. He Esther was his cousin, his uncle's daughter. She was an orphan from father, from mother. And Mordechai Tzadik raised her. And we know from Chazal that he married her. Posuk says, Vayhi oimenes Hadasso, he Esther. Hadasso, that is, otherwise known as Esther. There is Talgum Sheni of the Megillas Esther. Talgum Sheni, the translator, the Talgum. Of Megillas Esther. It's not just a simple translation. There's biurim, there's pshotim in the Talgum Sheni. In Talgum Sheni, steht hazeh on that posuk. He Esther betalyuso, he Esther besibuso, veloy posko min ovdin tovim. That's a loshon of the Talgum Sheni, translated into English. He Esther betalyuso. She is Esther in her younger years, when she was little. He Esther besibuso. She is Esther when she was an older person, when she was old. Veloi poskos min uvdin tuvin. She never stopped performing good deeds. That's the Talgum Sheni. Evidently, where's the Talgum Sheni getting this from? It's getting it from the word he. Because if you look in the Gemara, many places in the Gemara, Gemara teaches us and shows us how to expand psukim. Many times you find the word who in the pasuk, or he, or shom who, you find. What does the Gemara say many times in the word, how does the Gemara usually expand the word who or he? Who behavi yoso yehei, or he behavi yoso tehei. What does it mean behavi yoso? Behavi yoso means havaya, it should stay as it is, should remain as it is, should be like it was before. And many times the Gemara says about all different types of things. Gemara Darshan's, why is it not changing? Why is the Oshom still like this? Because it says Oshom, who be'ave yoso yehei? It should remain as it is. It should have the same dinim as beforehand, whatever the drosha may be. But the concept of the drosha of who or he in the Torah, when the Gemara expounds the word who or he, is be'ave yoso yehei. The Talgum Sheni understood also from the posuk that is the word he. Vayhi oimenes hadaso, he read hadaso, he estel. She remained stable, consistent throughout her life. He betalyuso, he besibuso, ma'olam loiposkos min ovdin toivim. She never stopped from good deeds. Which means that her first introduction to Esther Ramalko describes in the very same description as Sori Imenu, as kulam shovin toivim, there was an unbelievable consistency in her service of the Rabbeinu Shlomo. It didn't fluctuate. There was consistency day in, day out, irrelevant of the weather, the tides, irrelevant of the ups, the downs, the difficulties of life, the trials and tribulations. He Esther betaluso, he Esther besibuso. She was an orphan. She went through terrible, difficult life. She was snatched away from Mordechai Tzadik. She was taken by Achashverosh. She had to live in the palace for 12 years. She cried out, Keli, Keli, Lama Azavtoni. And through all her trials and tribulations, there was unbelievable stability and consistency of her avodas Hashem. That is the key ingredient to Malchus. As we said, the koroboy kol yemei chayov, leman yilmad liyiros Hashem. Consistency in the service of the Rabbeinu Shlomo is the key ingredient to Malchus, because a stable monarch is a stable kingdom. Consistency in the service of the Rabbeinu Shlomo. This is what Rabbi Akiva was telling his Talmidim. Rabbi Akiva knows as a posuk, V'hogisovoy yoimon v'loyla. Rabbi Akiva himself, as we all know, started off at a very late age. He was 40 years old when he started. And what gave him the Koichas HaNefesh? So he was a shepherd and he needed a drink of water. He went to the well, he went to the spring. And what does he see by the spring? He sees that the stone, the hard rock that is tough, has a hole in it. What's caused the hole? The dripping of the water. Drip, by drop, by drop, by drop. Consistently. Day after day, minute after minute, second after second, it created a hole. And that said, okay, Azafa, stop the house. No. Drop by drop, consistently, without a break. That can actually bore a hole into the hardest material. And so, Rabbi Akiva well understood the concept of consistency in the service of the Rabbi Yishtoyga. Ki yodua, Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz says a vote. 12 and 12, that's right. Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz says that after 12 years of being away from home, from his wife, from the daughter of Kalva Sahua, Rabbi Akiva comes home with 12,000 Talmidim. He comes into town and he overhears an old man speaking to his wife. And the old man says to his wife, how long will you be like a widow waiting for your husband to come? And what did she answer? Her response was, if he listened to me, he would go for another 12 years to learn Torah. What happened? Rabbi Akiva did an about turn, and he went for another 12 years. Came back after another 12 years, he had already 24,000 Talmidim. Frekt Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz, why did Rabbi Akiva at the very least, pop into his house, have tea? Martini, a tea, whatever it's as old as I. Why doesn't he have a drink and say, how are you doing? Haven't seen you for a long time. How are the kids? What's going on? I feel das nicht. Straight away he went back. Now, before I get to the Chaim Shmulevitz's answer, let's make I'll go off on a tangent. I'll tell you the answer that I thought of. The answer I thought of was Apia Meiser with my Zayda and his brother. A little bit topical. My Zayda and his brother were, Kiyodua, they were in... They were from Nevada. They learned in Nevada. They were from Ukraine, near Kiev. They came from a shtetl near Kiev, Periyaslav near Kiev. The whole mishpacha was killed off in Babi Yar. But my Zayd and his brother went to Nevada. And Kiyadua, the Bolsheviks, they closed down all the Nevada yeshivas. The Nevada yeshivas had a master plan. The plan was to escape across to Poland. They stole over in the middle of the night. They all went through the forests and they all ran away to Poland. The before the Shabbos, before their escape, my Zayden was 15, his brother was 13. They were little children, they were young boys.
Which year are you talking about?
So we're talking when the Bolsheviks in the 1920s, around there, and the Rosh Hashiva said to the Bochrim, they should all go home, take leave of their parents. Because who knows if or when they will ever see their parents again. They're stealing across the border to Poland, if they'll survive Bechlau. He was arrested, he was let out, whatever reason, there was a whole story behind it. But the bottom line is, the Rosh Hashiva Shabbos notices there's two boys left in Yeshiva. They haven't gone home to take leave of their parents. Who are they? It's my Zayda and his brother. He says to my Zayda, why don't you go home to say goodbye to your mother? They said, if I would go home to say goodbye to my mother, and my mother would hear that I'm planning on crossing the border and staying in Yeshiva, and it may be the last time she'll see me, there's a risk. She may not let me go back. She may not let me go back to Yeshiva. I'd rather not risk it. So a 15-year-old boy and a 13-year-old boy came to that realization. They didn't want to risk it. And Itaka never saw his parents again. And his parents were killed in Babi Yar. So I thought to say, the answer is very simple. Rabbi Akiva, it's all very well. She can say, if it was up to me, he can go for another 12 years. Could Rabbi Akiva risk it? If she'd see him, if he'd go into the house and talk to her, and shmooze to her, could he risk that she would still allow him to go back? Once he got the go-ahead, he wasn't going to risk going into the house and saying hello to her. So he did an about turn and he went for another 12 years. Couldn't risk it. However, Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz sagt an andere Wort. Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz says a gewaltige musselige Wort. Says Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz, 12 and 12 is not 24 when it comes to diligence in Torah learning. When it comes to the Ogisa Vayoyim and Valayim, 12 and 12 is not 24. There's got to be absolute consistency and continuity without a break. And that was Rabbi Akiva himself, so he was well placed to preach it to his Talmidim too. And so, when he sees that his Talmidim have dropped off and dozed off into a slumber, so Mele, when I give a shiur and it happens, I'm not well placed to preach it. I'm the last person who can preach. But Rabbi Akiva was well placed to preach that. So Rabbi Akiva says to his Talmidim, to wake them up, he says, do you appreciate the importance of consistency in Limud HaTorah? Do you appreciate what it means to be consistent in Avodas Hashem? That's the only way one can acquire Shleimus, is with that consistency. And he himself had practiced what he preached, which is why he became the great Rabbi Akiva. And so he says to them, Sori Meinu, 127 years, Shnei Chaye Soro, Kulon Shovin Letoiva, there was consistency in the service of the Rabbi Yishloilom, every single day without fail. There was no, today I'm not up to it. No such thing. Mipnei Ma, Zochso Esther, why did Esther marry to rule over 127 provinces? Why did she have Malchus to fight Amalek? Because that is the key ingredient to Malchus. The key ingredient to Malchus is that stability, that consistency. The martini every single day to the age of 95. That is the key ingredient to Malchus. And that's why she was Zoicha to that Malchus. Because he Esther betaliuso, he Esther besivuso, kul loy poskos ma'ovdin tovi. Just to finish off, the Gemara in Megillah Daf Chof Zayin, Anocha Medrash. There's another Medrash, Gevaldike Medrash. The Medrash says that the two children of Rochel Imenu, says the Medrash, this is Anocha Medrash in Medrash in Esther Avo, Zayin, says like this, the two children of Rochel, both of them, their miracles are equal, and their ascent to greatness is equal. In what way are the miracles equal? So the Medrash equates between Yosef, who's the one son of Rochel, and the other son of Rochel, but not Binyamin himself, but Ish Yamini. Who's Ish Yamini? Ish bin Yishimini is from Binyamin. Mordechai Tzadik was Ish Yamini. And it says like this. Their miracles were the same. Potiphar says to Yosef, Vayhi kedabro el Yosef, Yoim, Yoim. Mordechai Tzadik, Ish Yamini, Vayhi ka'omrom elav, Yoim, Yoim. Veloi shoma aleim, Veloi shoma ileho, Lishkav, e'imo liois etzlo. Listen to them, exactly the same. Says the Medrash, that is miraculous. That is a miracle. Because for a person to be able to withstand such unbelievable pressure, phenomenal pressure, when you look at Medrash and you see the pressure that Yosef was pressured, it's phenomenal to believe that a human being could withstand such terrible nisyonos. And yet, Vayhi kedabro elov yoim yoim, for 12 months, he didn't listen to her. They said, you are going to cause a downfall of Klal Yisrael. It's your fault. And yoim yoim, day by day, he refused to hear. That, says the Medrash, considers it miraculous. Their miracles were the same. And their rise to greatness was the same. Exactly the same rise to greatness. He puts him, he clothes him with beautiful clothes, with big day malchus, and he puts him on the horse. Also, he robed him in fine linen, and he put him on the mirkeves hamishta, what? Avreich. Exactly the same rise to greatness. And so again, we see this. Ginune Malchus. Malchus is consistency. Av Reich means Av B'Shon, Av B'Chochma B'Rach B'Shonim. And so, to finish off, Rabbi, with the Gemara in Megillah of Zion of Beis. The Gemara in Megillah of Zion of Beis lists out a group of six Tanoim and one Amoira. Each of their Talmidim asked them, Rebbe, B'Meh Erachto Yomim. Why were you so Chetarichas Yomim? Was it because he did some exercise, or he ate healthy, he didn't have any genetically modified foods, he didn't have pesticides, apple pesticides in his apples, what was it? He did have the vaccine, didn't have the vaccine, what was it that the mayor after Yomim? They asked him. Each one gives three different answers. And each one gives something else. For example, one of them says, I never made a Beis HaMedrash into a into a shortcut. Ma'olam lo kinisti shem lechaveri, this one says. The other one says that ma'olam lo pasati al roshi am kodosh, nochen yazok, ma'olam lo ispalalti or yirhauti b'mokoyim the metunav. Each one gives a different meritorious practice that gained him long life. So what's the elixir to long life? What does a person have to do to live long then? Which one? In fact, account of the Gemara lists about 20 different reasons of why they live long. So which one is it? So my father, Zola Zayn Gesund, Zola Hob Mariches Yomim Beshonim, he said very simple. He said there's one common denominator between all 20 of them. Me'olam, me'olam, I never did, or I always did. An absolute consistency. There was never today, I don't have koyach, today rheumatism is praying up, so I need to take a shortcut through the base of Mebush. Today, I can't find the court, I need to be poisel. There was never, ever a change in that consistent practice that they did. It was absolutely consistent. That is the key ingredient to Malchus. Mishnah says, Kol Yisrael b'nei Melochim. We're all Melochim. And if we're all Melochim, then we must all act like Melochim. And the main ingredient to Malchus is consistency. When we're Mela, that's what it has to do with start the day the Torah way, as I started off at the beginning of the Shia. Because those who attend a Shia consistently, day in, day out, irrelevant of the weather, or the difficulties, or the feeling, not feeling well, that is, and ask any health practitioner, he'll tell you, that's the secret to a long life. A person who doesn't give in every single day, the Avodah Sakoyesh, and with that, you should all be zoicha to Arichus Yomim Rishonim, and we should be zoicha to see the Melech, the HaMoshiach, the Vias, we'll say, Bimher, Yomeinu, Amen.